Welcome to Ignoring the Rules, the podcast that challenges conventional wisdom to unlock innovative solutions for project success. I'm Wayne Robertson, and today I want to tackle a topic that's critical for everybody: burnout. Now, burnout isn't just exhaustion or stress. It's a state of physical, emotional, and mental depletion that can derail even the most talented person. In this episode, I want to define what burnout really is, uncover the subtle ways it sneaks up on your team, and explore the key warning signs that you can't afford to ignore. And most importantly, I'll provide actionable strategies to help prevent burnout that I've learned from a wide variety of people that can bring you and your team back to health if it's already taken hold. Because burnout isn't a buzzword. It's a productivity assassin, a morale crusher, and a straight-up leadership failure if no one's paying attention. And it creeps up quietly, it saps the team's energy, and leaves you with a broken project and disengaged people. And if you think you or your team is immune, think again. All of us have faced this at one time or another. So I want to discuss what burnout really is, how it sneaks up on the team, and the red flags that most managers miss. And I get this from many years of working with many different teams, talking to different folks, seeing it, and experiencing it myself. So this is not on "I did everything right." This is "I did a lot of things wrong, and here's why." But most importantly, I want to fix it before it torches everything you've worked on, because keeping yourself and your team healthy isn't a nice to have. It's survival. So if you're ready to face the hard truths and keep your team from burning out, literally and figuratively, let's get into it. Have you ever noticed how companies talk about avoiding burnout and then schedule 9 meetings to discuss it? Okay. And you know that your team is burned out when your coffee machine has a waiting line longer than the promotion list. That is the first thought. And you can tell who's burned out by their new vocabulary. They don't say, "I'm tired." They'll say, "I'm running on vibes and caffeine." And they don't say, "I'm overworked." They just say, "I'm spiritually unemployed." Uh-oh. And management always tries to motivate the team, and they say, like, "We're a family." And I'm thinking, this could be a family that argues about deadlines, forgets birthdays, and eats dinner at their desks. I'm not sure we want that. And then I've seen this happen. A company email that says, "Your well-being is our top priority." And then next paragraph, "Mandatory overtime this weekend because we're against the wall on this project." And burnout isn't just being tired. It's when your brain looks at your to-do list and says, I'm closed. Whether you're leading a small project or managing a large team or just a worker on a team, this episode is essential to listening, because keeping a team healthy isn't just good for them. It's the foundation of great work and sustainable success. This story is fictional, but it's based on real-life activities, as I don't have the permission to relate actual things that have happened in the places where I've worked. So Adria was a force to be reckoned with. As a manager, she had a reputation for driving her team to achieve incredible results, and her mantra was simple: hard work wins. And she poured herself into her projects, often working late into the night and expecting the same level of commitment from her team. And under her leadership, deadlines were crushed and the accolades rolled in, and she was on top of the world. Or so she thought. But then cracks begin to form. Well, it started subtly. Adria found herself snapping at team members over minor mistakes, and the same people she had once praised for their dedication now seemed to irritate her with every question or suggestion. She noticed her team, too, was on the edge. Little disagreements spiraled into full-blown arguments. Meetings, once a place of collaboration, became tense and unproductive, and verbal fights broke out over trivial matters like formatting on a report or the placement of a logo. And she could not ignore it anymore when one of her most reliable team members, a quiet but brilliant developer, exploded during a meeting and stormed out. And that night, sitting alone in her office, Adria realized something was very wrong. So she began searching furiously, looking for answers. She went to articles and case studies and leadership books that painted actually a stark picture. She and her team were burnt out. The long hours, relentless pace, and the lack of downtime had left them mentally and emotionally drained. And Adria was horrified. Not only was her team suffering, but she realized that she had unwittingly driven them to this point. Worse, she feared that some of them might be on the verge of leaving. So, determined to make things right, she sprang into action. She put new policies in place, starting with reducing work hours. She emphasized quality over speed and encouraged her team to prioritize their well-being. Lunch breaks became mandatory, no emails after 6 p.m., and Fridays were set aside for lighter workloads and brainstorming sessions. And the transformation was remarkable. Within weeks, the team's dynamic shifted. The once tense meetings turned into lively, engaging discussions. The sharp words and fights disappeared. They were replaced by laughter and camaraderie, and productivity soared. Working fewer hours, which actually led to better results. Fewer mistakes and more creative problem solving. But she didn't stop there. She doubled down on creating an environment her team would love. She introduced flexible schedules, recognized individual achievements during team meetings, and organized occasional fun team building activities. And upper management took notice. The team that seemed on the brink of collapse was now delivering faster and better than ever, and it only took less than 2 months for a complete turnaround. Adria's ability to lead such a dramatic turnaround became a case study in the company, and executives approached her eager to learn her secret. And she shared her story openly, admitting her mistakes and explaining how she turned things around. By focusing on the team's well-being, she became a champion for healthier work environments, and her team continued to thrive, grateful to work under a leader who truly cared for them. Now, Adria's journey proved that even the most driven leaders must recognize the limits of their teams and themselves, because by putting people first, she discovered that success didn't come from relentless hard work, but from creating a space where everyone could do their best work and enjoy the process. So let's take a look at this, because Adria's transformation from a burnout-inducing leader to a champion of a team well-being was not easy and was a multi-step process that involved a mix of introspection and changes and consistent follow-through. So let's take a look at the steps that she had to go through. Here's a detailed breakdown of how she turned things around. The first step was to identify the root cause of the team's issues. This is hard. A lot of great introspection, and it's really hard. She realized that symptoms of burnout, fatigue, irritability, increased mistakes, and verbal conflicts among team members were clear signs. Next, she started looking into some things because she didn't want to rush into solutions without really getting a good handle and understanding things. So she read extensively about burnout, its causes, and the effect on teams and productivity. Little self-education here. She consulted leadership resources and case studies and discovered that overwork was actually counterproductive. And then she sought input from other leaders and mentors who had successfully addressed similar challenges. So the next step was to shift the team focus from speed to sustainability. Now, this is tough. She wanted quality over speed, but yet, how was most everyone measured? By speed. She reframed success metrics to prioritize high-quality work rather than meeting aggressive deadlines. And that doesn't mean you can't work hard towards the deadlines. You have to. Clear goals. She worked with the team to set realistic and achievable objectives, reducing unnecessary pressure. Next, implementing structural changes. She overhauled the team's work environment and processes. She reduced the work hours, enforced a strict limit on work hours, ensuring everyone, including herself, left the office at a reasonable time. She also required the team to take mandatory breaks, like lunch, and encouraged them to step away from the desk during the day. She also banned late-night emails and messages, giving the team time to recharge. And she allowed the team members to adjust their work hours to better suit their personal lives. As I was thinking about this, Adria looked around the office and realized something terrifying. Her team wasn't just low on morale. They were one printer jam away from forming a coup and taking over. So she did what a great leader does. No, not running, but she rolled up her sleeves and launched Operation Bring These People Back to Life, if we could. And Adria started celebrating wins so often, the team thought she accidentally discovered confetti on bulk discount. Someone turned in a report on time, standing ovation. Someone refilled the coffee pot, well, maybe a little much there. And someone didn't sigh loudly during a meeting, well, they need a medal or something, maybe. And instead of saying this is wrong and castigating somebody, she would say, beautiful opportunity for improvement. Now, the translation, to be honest, was, you tried, bless your heart, and now let's fix it before upper management sees it. So she focused on improving the team's mental and emotional well-being. And she began by regularly acknowledging and celebrating individual and team achievements. And instead of focusing on what went wrong, she framed feedback around the opportunities for improvement. And she organized some team bonding activities, as we mentioned before, which really helped. And she mediated disagreements calmly and encouraged open communication to address underlying tensions, because she expected underlying tensions is a normal part of the work world. Next, she shifted a directive leadership style to more of a collaborative approach. We're all in this together. She trusted team members to make decisions within their areas of expertise, giving them ownership of their work. She also welcomed ideas and feedback. She created a culture where team members felt valued and heard. And she arranged training sessions to help the team members build confidence and improve their skills. And this is a biggie. She led by example, demonstrating her commitment to change. She practiced what she preached, setting boundaries for herself and prioritizing her mental health. She admitted her past mistakes with the team and shared her plan for improvement, earning their trust and respect. Of course, it doesn't happen right away. They were very skeptical to begin with. And she became more understanding and supportive, focusing on building relationships rather than just driving results. Now, this is a really important part. I've been through this on both sides. The ones doing the work and the ones making these changes. It happens. Adria didn't assume her changes would work overnight. She met with team members individually and as a group to assess how they were feeling and gather feedback. And based on feedback, she fine-tuned her new policies to better meet the team's needs. And she kept an eye on key performance indicators to ensure the team's work quality and output improved. Well, these changes produced remarkable results. There was improved productivity, and this is despite working fewer hours. The team completed tasks faster and with fewer errors due to better focus and morale. and the team meetings became collaborative and enjoyable. They also became more, the team members became more enthusiastic and invested in their work, and willing to go the extra mile when necessary. And the team not only stayed together, but also expressed newfound appreciation for Adria's leadership. And upper management eventually noticed the transformation and approached her to learn how she had turned things around. And her transparent explanation of prioritizing well-being over relentless work impressed them, and her methods became a model for other teams in that organization. So her transformation was about more than just policies. It was about creating a culture of trust, respect, and balance. And by addressing burnout head-on, she showed that sustainable practices and human-centric leadership could lead to an exceptional result, proving that taking care of your people is the smartest investment a leader can make. So I'd like to take a moment here and dive into this whole thing about burnout. What is it? Well, it's a state of physical, mental, and emotional exhaustion caused by prolonged stress and overwork. And things that can contribute to it: excessive workload, unrealistic deadlines, lack of recognition, poor work-life balance, and inefficient communication. And this can happen to managers, that there can be chronic fatigue and lack of energy, that when your energy level is so low, your coffee needs its own coffee. You can have irritability and impatience with team members when someone asks a completely normal question and your brain responds with, "Fight me." Also, reduced performance and difficulty concentrating. So when you stare at your screen for 12 minutes and then still have no idea what the email says, that could be a sign. There's also cynicism and detachment from work. So when your daily motivation quote becomes whatever. And neglecting personal well-being. I'm thinking of skipping meals and sleep or breaks. When lunch is a myth, sleep is a rumor, and breaks are something you read about on ancient scrolls, that is a problem. So that's what happens with a manager. What about the team? Well, you get increased conflicts and irritability among team members. And when two people start arguing over who gets the quiet stapler, you know that morale is circling the drain at that point. There's also missed deadlines and decreased productivity. When your project timeline has more delays in the airport on Christmas Eve, you're in trouble. High turnover or frequent discussions about quitting when half the team is updating their resume during the meeting, you got a problem. There's lower morale, low enthusiasm, and when the only thing that the team looks forward to is the fire alarm test, you got a problem. There's a rise in mistakes and reduced attention to detail. So when someone sends an email that says "see attachment" and there's no attachment again, there's a problem. So why burnout must be addressed? Because, well, the impact on individuals, physical and mental health issues, decreased job satisfaction. When your employees start Googling, "Is it normal to cry during status meetings?" That's a problem. Job satisfaction drops so low they start reminiscing about jury duty. And physical health declines when the only cardio they get is sprinting away from new tasks. There's also an impact on the team from poor collaboration or high turnover or decreased quality of work. Because team collaboration gets so bad, you think they were in a group project from high school. Remember those days? And turnover gets so high, you start wondering if you should install a revolving door just to save some time. And quality drops until even the intern says, "Wow, y'all okay?" Another impact is delays. Increased costs, missed goals. The project delays stack up so fast, it looks like you're speedrunning a failure simulation. And the costs rise until the finance department starts sending emails with the subject line, "Seriously?" And missed goals pile up like abandoned shopping carts at a Walmart parking lot. The impact is physical and mental health issues and decreased job satisfaction. And part of that ends up being poor collaboration, higher turnover, and you get delays and increased costs and missed goals. Disaster. So how do we solve it? We've listed the problems. How do we solve it? Well, first of all, acknowledge. That's a big thing. Do you know? Many don't realize they're having these problems. Admit burnout is present personally and in the team. And then discuss openly with team members to identify pain points. Identify areas where tasks or deadlines are unrealistic. Eliminate unnecessary work and focus on high priority items. And then set boundaries. Limit work hours for yourself and the team. You implement no email policies after work and on weekends. You encourage breaks, exercise, and healthy habits for everyone. And this is really important. You model those behaviors yourself as the leader. You also can reprioritize goals because you shift from a work harder to a work smarter mindset. And you focus on quality over speed. That doesn't mean the deadlines can be ignored, but you can help get there by high quality and a rested team. You also want to enhance the team morale by celebrating successes and individual contributions, and maybe even some team bonding things. I'm not so big on those. I find those to be less than helpful, but for some groups, that might be great. And you can also seek support. Bring in external training or coaching for stress management, and maybe there's additional resources available from upper management, if necessary. So what'll happen? What will be the result? Well, you'll have improved productivity because the teams produce better results with fewer hours. Mistakes are reduced, and creativity thrives. You also have stronger team relationships because collaboration and communication improve and team members feel valued and supported. And they also stay because you have increased retention. Team members are more likely to stay in a positive work environment. And I've seen this happen, you can attract top talent due to this culture. And as a manager, you should regain passion for your work and inspire others, and teams enjoy their work and feel proud of their achievements. So if your team's starting to look like a bunch of caffeinated zombies who flinch every time Outlook dings, you might have a burnout problem. But don't worry, you can fix it. You can spot burnout early, recharge your team, and maybe, just maybe, get everyone to stop answering their emails at 11 p.m. And burnout is like a slow Wi-Fi connection. You don't notice the danger until everyone starts buffering in real life. And if burnout spreads any faster, HR will have to replace the fire extinguisher with a therapist because that is going to go bad. And a burned out team won't just miss deadlines. Your project timeline will start looking like a crime scene investigation. It will be bad. And if your whole team is burned out, congrats. You're no longer running a business. You're running a zombie apprenticeship program, and they will be. And the danger of burnout? Actually kind of simple. Your team goes from "we've got this" to "do we have to" in record time. And as we wrap up this episode of Ignoring the Rules, I need to emphasize one critical truth. Burnout isn't just a personal problem. It's a business killer. It destroys productivity, morale, creativity, and ultimately your company's ability to succeed. Whether it's a large corporation or small business, signs of burnout are everywhere. Rising conflicts, missed deadlines, increased turnover, and disengaged employees. It's a slow-burning fire that, if ignored, will consume the very foundation of your team. But here's the good news. Burnout is not inevitable. When leaders recognize the symptoms, take responsibility, and make meaningful changes, the results can be eventually extraordinary. Won't happen real quick, but it will work. Teams can bounce back stronger, deliver better results with fewer mistakes, and even enjoy their work again. Remember, the health of your team directly impacts the health of your business. So start today. Listen to the people around you. Adjust expectations. Prioritize well-being. Burnout is dangerous. But with the right mindset and actions, it can be prevented. and even reversed. Hey, thanks for tuning into this episode of Ignoring the Rules podcast. If this episode resonated with you, share it with a fellow leader. Let's start the conversation. Make the workplace better for everyone. Until next time, I'm Wayne Robertson. Keep leading, keep innovating, and don't be afraid to ignore the rules that no longer serve you.